Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
James, put some oil on it. It's a bit dry.
You're going to see how a bad nigger learned good.
James, your name is Toby. I want to hear you say it. Your name is Toby. You're going to learn to say your name. Let me hear you say it. What's your name?
Kunta. Kunta Chinte.
When the master gives you something, you take it. He gave you a name. It's a nice name. It's Toby. And it's going to be yours till the day you die. Now, I know you understand me. And I want to hear it. Again! I want to hear you say your name. Your name is Toby. What's your name?
Kunta.
Lord God, help that boy. They're gonna whip him dead.
What's your name? Say it. Toby. Who are you? Say your name. What's your name?
Toby.
Hi. Say it again. Say it louder so they all can hear you. What's your name?
Toby. My name is Toby.
Hi. That's a good nigger. Cut him down.
Because it was written without vowels. And the Vagas they were inserted many centuries later, between the 6th and the 9th century after Christ. A long time passed between when that name was written only with consonant and when the vowels were inserted. Books have written many treatises on this name. And this happened precisely because its meaning is not known. Not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you do not know, the best thing is do not make translations. In reality, we do not know what Yahweh means, and only like that. In reality, we do not know what Yahweh means, and then, since we do not know what Yahweh means, we do not translate it. Because translating with Lord or translating with the Eternal really means, here we are sure, inventing translations. So, when in English we find Lord or the Eternal, we write what is written in Hebrew, Yahweh. So, we respect the text.
And appears in the writing conventions and sound system of the host language, but it's come from somewhere else, and that's why suddenly you have this word that has no history, no root meaning. It is a foreign word that the people started using. I believe Yahweh is that kind of a word. Not a Hebrew word, not an Egyptian word, not a word in any of the languages known to Moses, a word from somewhere else entirely. There is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. There is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. Maybe there is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God, thing of himself, in the very next sentence. So the very next sentence begins, what kind of being is that? Maybe there is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. Tetragrammaton, these four letters, is a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. There's a clue in the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. Four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. Tetragrammaton, these four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. Four letters that have become used as the holy name for God. This was the name that the being began using of himself in the very next sentence. He's using this name Yahweh, and it's represented by these four letters, the Tetragrammaton. And it's represented by these four letters, the Tetragrammaton. Now, Mara, very right. correctly says, we don't know how that was pronounced. The vowels came into Yahweh at a later stage. We just have the four consonants. So even though we can't be sure exactly how it was pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were. And that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now, when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes It becomes Yahweh. In my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. Almost disappear, it becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, and it has to do with something called affrication. Affrication is really a stories. The consonants we have, how it is pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were, and that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH, of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now when you put the vowel of stories, the consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? Now when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, as stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? As stories. The consonants we have are YHWH. How were they pronounced? H-W-H-A-H-W-H. How were they pronounced? How it is pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were, and that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are Y-H-W-H. How were they pronounced? Now when you put the vowels into the name, the H's almost disappear. It becomes Yahweh. But I'm going to put forward a little linguistic theory here, and that is the story of the H in Yahweh. Because with the vowels in, they're almost silent. But if you go to Proto-Northwest Semitic, which is an ancestor of Hebrew, the H sound was voiced quite differently, the H in Yahweh. Because with the vowels in, they're almost silent. But if you go to Proto-Northwest Semitic, which is an ancestor of Hebrew, the H sound was voiced quite differently. That's why I believe the Tetragrammaton is actually a clue that places the biblical story in a much wider context, makes it part of a much bigger story about the history of our planet, the history of the human race, and the history of our God concepts. Why I believe the Tetragrammaton is actually a clue that places the biblical story in a much wider context, makes it part of a much bigger story about the history of our planet, the history of the human race, and the history phone letters sound like this. Yud, hey, vav in the modern Hebrew, or wa in the ancient Hebrew, and then hey. Yud, hey, wa, hey is also the forgotten name of God, which Jewish scholars and researchers say has a meaning and a pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Today, Yud, Hey, Wah, Hey is most often rendered as Yahweh when written or spoken by Christians and others. It is still never pronounced aloud by Orthodox Jews. The pronunciation Jehovah is an older, less accurate rendition of these letters. It originated with the early German translators of the Hebrew language and their sounds, thus the more Germanic sound of Jehovah. Yud, Hey, Wah, Hey. Let Hey, Vav in the modern Hebrew, or Wa in the ancient Hebrew, and then Hey. Hey, Wah, Hey is also the forgotten name of God, which Jewish scholars and researchers say has a meaning and a pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Wahe is also the forgotten name of God, which Jewish scholars and researchers say has a meaning and a pronunciation that was lost because their ancestors have refused to speak it aloud since about a generation before the Roman destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Today, Yud, Hey, Wahe is most often rendered as Yahweh when written or spoken by Christians and others. It is still never pronounced aloud by Orthodox Jews. The pronunciation Jehovah is an older, less accurate rendition of these letters. It originated with the early German translators of the Hebrew language and their sounds, thus the more Germanic sound of Jehovah. Yud, Hey, Wahe.
Why, when you, as a Christian, see these words, they should set alarm bells ringing. These words do not appear anywhere in the New Testament. There is no form of them in the New Testament in the original writings in Greek. Yet, these days, the words are sometimes found in worship songs. They pop up in sermons. That should concern you. They aren't New Testament words. They aren't words that were part of any expression of Christianity until recently. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. Sincere but misguided believers have latched onto this word until recently. Where do the words come from? YHWH, and then a made-up word, made by adding invented vowel sounds and coming up with Yahweh. The Yahweh business is nonsense. Let's learn from the history of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They turned the Hebrew letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh into English letter equivalents, J-H-V-H, and then added made-up vowel sounds and came up with the word Jehovah. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't deny Jesus. It's not helpful to make the same mistake, to take the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and use other alternative English letter equivalents, YHWH, and then add made-up vowel sounds and come up with a new word, Yahweh. It's not helpful to make the same mistake, to take the letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and use other alternative English letter equivalents, YHWH, and then add made-up vowel sounds and come up with a new word, Yahweh. Surely we don't need another Yahweh sect. 27 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The Lord is to build a house, the household of God. If anyone else builds or attempts to build that house, they labor in vain. That's how it's been translated in many English Bibles. Here it is in the original Hebrew. It's this word, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that's translated as the Lord. It needs to be crystal clear in every believer's mind.
It appears in the Hebrew text, and it is still readily known in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, and it means the four-lettered name. In the four Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, and it means in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, and it means in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, and it means the four-lettered name. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, in Judaism and the Jewish world. And this name is comprised of four letters. In Greek it is called the Tetragrammaton, but in Hebrew it's called Arba Othio, and it means the four-lettered name. And the four letters of the name are Yod, He, Wal, He. Some may pronounce it Yod, He, Vav, He. However, Yod, He, Wal, He is the most ancient form of the pronunciation of these letters. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God, King James Version. You may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it is often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who, often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the Lord implies, you know, something, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great is the personal revelation, ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation of the Creator. Ambiguous entity. However, Yahuwah is the personal revelation.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host. By name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take number 35. And that's very clear that you have to get the name right. And that's why they gave the Israelite boy a name. Once you don't call on the name and once the name is not applied in your vocabulary, they know, the world know, that you was up under a curse. So they know about you. It's just you don't know about yourself. So keep that in your mind. Whenever somebody else give you a name and you apply that name to your name, after you have found out the information of your name, that's when the clock starts kicking on you. That is good. All right, we're going to bring our elder in. He's going to tell you all about the broadcast. Remember one thing, December 25th date. It's right around the corner on the 24th when the sun set. That is the proper December 25th day. That's the proper day, say, right here. What you're supposed to be celebrating December 25th about, it's called a dedication. A dedication of you retaining what was yours that was taken away from you for so many years. Now you lost it again. So you got to take it back again. How you going to take it back? Through his word. We're going to bring our Harold in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast, and we'll see if we can get something going on tape number 35. So let's see. So you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Yahuwah bless you, that's the right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, and see Israel. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Oh, Yahuwah, the elder. Well, you know, one thing about it, these three-hour broadcasts, they go over so fast, but just so much information that have been revealed to the six anointed camps. And it just got to take our time and get it out there, but it makes a profound statement. We're going to take a look at that. When you know these truths, you don't apply it, the clock starts ticking. So, Elder Mr. Taylor, whatever you want to tell this national audience on take number 35 of the Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take your time, you're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And that's always a good thing, because in this program, it's always a learning scenario. Always. But who was it that said they love the uneducated? I think that was the Trump. He loves the uneducated, because it's very easy to put things in the mind of an uneducated person, especially uneducated in the word of Yahuwah. And unfortunately, it's us, the black folks, which is the least uneducated. Some of us stretch out there and we try to grab education and, you know, teach others. As I say, that's a good thing. Did you know? By not knowing what we should know, we were used for experiments years ago. Listening to this broadcast earlier should have reminded some of you people listening to the past. Black folks were used for experiments. And you probably said, what does Mr. Tibbs mean by that? You ever heard of the Tuskegee test subjects? The test subjects were black American Negroes. You can look that up on YouTube or on your smartphone. Tuskegee. Tuskegee. and was a study of untreated syphilis in the Negro. And it was a clinical study that was done, conducted between the years of 1932 and all the way up to 1972. Even when they found a cure of penicillin, they didn't even let the infected black folks know that they had found a cure. Did you know later, in 1997, our former President Bill Clinton, he formally apologized on behalf of the United States to victims of the experiment. Well, that was acknowledging that that had actually been done. And during that same year, there was a large group of students, more than 100 boys at the Fernando School in Waltham, Massachusetts. They were fed radioactive cereal containing iron and calcium in the 1940s, later during that same year. And the diet was part of also an experiment to prove that nutrients in Quaker oatmeal travel throughout the body. They even had nerve enough to say oatmeal goes down better adding sugar. Oh, boy, you know, we are a people need to be educated, because not knowing things can put you in a very bad disposition. That's why we try so hard to make this word understood. And some things have to be repeated and repeated until it becomes part of your normal understanding. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, Christianity, and loud bump the gums. See who can talk the loudest to make themselves heard to be righteous. Well, that's not the way it goes. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahuwah's word. Even being criticized about Yahuwah's word. How can you people get this much information out of this one book? And you'll learn or taught that it comes from connecting the books. The words of Yahuwah, your health. We even talk about foods that you should eat, even keeping the Sabbath days, and much more comes from this one book. All this is done because you have not. This is information that you all came to seek and found it now in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which is today. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is Friday. Class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under a big line, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Sometimes on any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking that, you'll still see choices. And doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, the donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the scriptures that are written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also, for building a school, as you can see, which is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends including myself, in tune with the biblical feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into a live online broadcast. We even use two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyadav@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah Online. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But so in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. By also calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. Another note we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, the seer is pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos, as most of us have seen. And even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line that is given of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. And as I said before, unless you call trying to teach, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or when you look down that list, pick any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we are simultaneously transmitting our program on Paltalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Once again, just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and you'll find our room will hold more than 50 participants at a time. This is where Yahuwah's Word will be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discuss during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, not to worry. Our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But one note, when we're given those scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. We're given that reminder in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. We do this because we keep those scriptures in mind. But when you have those that are trying to win that bump the gums contest that you often run into, they miss all the Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. Remember, we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah. So we can get this process on the road, we'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Hallelujah, Yahuwah on that. That's right. Get the program on the road, take number 35. And let's see who will be all be on stage for tonight's episode, part number 35. But one thing about it, the word is getting where it got to get to, and that's why it's so important on us to rehearse this righteous act. And you don't have to. You got to do what the man told you to do to return back to him. It's about understanding one thing. You're not trying to win the other nations over. You're trying to get your people back in order for Yahweh to intervene. So it's not sitting around with other nations, because the other nations are going to take it all the way in. And once we come grips with this thing, that the other nations is going to do their part all the way to the end. Anytime you waste time with the other nations trying to convince them of anything, then you lose. Your job is to organize the peoples of the 12 tribes of Israel first. That is your proper getting back to your mighty one, is organize your people first. Now, wherever I'm going on that, I don't know yet, but I'll tell you one thing. Let's see who will be on the stage for tonight's episode 35, and we'll see which way it go after we go through the necessary process of it. Oh, so we see the young lion is ready to go. Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Young lion. Brother Micaiah, Yahweh be with you there, seed royal.
Yahweh bless you there, seed Israel, of seed royal.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young lion. And like we said earlier, young lion, everybody going to do their part. And once we do our part according to what's written, that's when you're going to see the change that's going to come. If not debating or trying to do anything with the other nations, but be clearly to educate your people. What Yahweh said, that's what he came for. In 15:24 of Matthew, he said he came for the lost family of the children of Israel. So if he is at the author and the finisher of our salvation, we got to keep that part in mind. So we know that they're going to come clean, the one that he wants to make it. But our job is to do what Yahweh got for us to do, is to organize our people. And matter of fact, we might read a little bit after we seek and we find Mother E. Israel from the tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Let's see if we find Mother E. Israel and bring her in for this nice episode. She said, you know, I'm always ready to go now. And I got to have a little more patience. I'm going to sit here and get my act together, because I know this is going to be a bumpy ride, but it's going to be done. So I got to sharpen my patience up and just prepare back and be prepared to do my part. Mother E. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Yahweh beat you, FC, right?
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, of King Joy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother E, Israel. And we know Mother Z, Israel, is in the background and sitting at a desk ready to write some good stuff down. And she'll give her commentary on whatever she heard later or whatever the Almighty put on her. So we're going to get something going on. Remember, tomorrow is the special edition called Thursday evening. Back on again at 6 o'clock. But right now, we're looking for the young lion to get in that microphone and speaking when he rehearsed the righteous act on Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Young lion, what's going on with that verse?
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
That's right. You're absolutely right there, young lion. And that's why we have to be clear that everybody have a role to play. Do you understand something? That everybody have a role to play. And Sirach 10:1, can you help to see it out and bag it up with Sirach 37:21-23? Go back to back with me, young lion, because, see, sometimes we don't know what we're going to do, but we prepared to do whatever he give us at that very same hour. But understand, everybody got different roles to play. See, the job of a seer is to do what, according to Sirach? 10:1, come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 10, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, A wise seer will instruct his people, and the governance of a prudent man is well ordered.
See, a wise seer will instruct his people. See, that's the responsibility of a seer. See, the seer have to instruct you on what this man is saying. Because the reason why we say that, help me out for a minute, Jeff. Give me 27:31-33, young lion, before you read that. Hey, mother, can you help those see out in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7? Now, in Proverbs 16, verse 7, see, a wise seer will instruct his people. Because something he knows, mother, that we can read after we hear it read. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, Mother E. Israel. Come on.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 11.
Verse number 7.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways pleases Yahweh, he maketh even his enemy to be at peace with him.
See, that's what I have to tell those that's going to be into this understanding. When your ways please Yahweh, then Yahweh will do what, mother? What will Yahweh do, mother, according to verse 7? Now, when your ways please him, what did he say happens when the first thing you got to examine, are you pleasing him? Then what does he say, mother?
He said, he'll make his enemies will be at peace with him.
You see that, mother? So when your ways please Aqua, the son, right, Yahweh the Son, your ways are that part right there. Hold that point. Young lion, where you got, hold what you got. Get 17 verse 5 WCC. I need a verse for the WCC, World Council of Churches. See, when your ways please your mighty one, that's what he's saying. When your ways please him, he'll make your enemies have peace with you. And that's big talk. Now, what's the reading there, young lion?
Did you say go to 17, verse 5?
Well, I forgot what I'm saying now, young lion. I forgot it because I was in the spirit on that word. I forgot. What did I say there, mother? Can anybody help me out? What word did I just say?
I was right.
Somebody help me out what I just said. Say it again.
You said when you please... When your ways please Yahweh, you said you got go to 17 verse 5. You got a word for him for WCC.
Okay, good. Yeah, Matthew 17 verse 5. Yeah, Matthew 17 verse 5. See, the main thing we got to do, we got to make sure one thing, that we pleasing our mighty one. So you got to look in the mirror and you got to examine yourself. I don't care how much you can find your $10, but is your ways pleasing mighty one? Now, mother just got through reading in Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways Yahweh, YHWH. Then he have your enemy to make, to have peace with you. I mean, they might be thinking all kind of things do to you, but it's not going to stand because he said he going to kick in. But the only way for him to kick in, you got to make sure you pleasing him. We'll find out more about that. Now, what he say in 17 verse 5 there, young lion? What he say we can read in Matthew 17 verse 5?
The book of Matthew chapter 17 verse number 5. Verse 5 reads, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him.
Well, you see, the father stepped in because everybody sometimes like to get up, go out their ways. He said, no, don't go out your way. Just do what the Bible tell you to do. And we did listen to the early part of the Ask Machine taping, and we found out the big scholars in the early part of the first 30 minutes of the broadcast, they was wrestling around with a name. They say they don't know what his name come from. They said his name did not come from mortal men's, this YHWH name. And we don't know how to pronounce it. But some of them have heard how we pronounce the name, then they pronounce the name Yahweh. See, one thing we know, we have the true name. If they want to know a true name, they got to get it from us. Voices of the true Israelite. The true name, which is the four letters. They said, we know it's the four letters. And we know the A and the E did not exist in the 6th century down to the 9th century. So we clear up that that's not his name, Yahweh, or Yah, or Yahweh. So they've been listening to the broadcast there, young lion, and they know his true name is the YHWH name. And how you pronounce it, one of them big scholars, they did pronounce it in that 30-minute lecture they gave, Yahweh. And that is correct.
Yahweh.
That's the true name of your mighty one. Not Lord, not God, not Jesus, not Allah, not Jehovah, Yahweh. That is the true name of your creator.
Hallelujah.
In John 5:43, when I came in the body, I came in my father's name. So the name he was using walking the face of the earth was his father's name. Four letters. YHWH the Son. He was called Yahweh the Son. So we clear. But if you want to please this man, he said he'll make your enemies bag up just when you really need him the most, but you got to please him. But how do you please him, a mother E Israel? We're going to 1 John chapter 3 on the right side of the book, verse 22. How do you please your mighty one? What is written? Because we don't want to be fumbling around with this thing. We want to be able to get in contact with our loved ones and tell our loved ones, listen, you know why you're a sickly person? You know why you don't have no upbeat spirit? First of all, you're not pleasing the man of the Bible. You're pleasing the man of the world. Because the man in the Bible even told you what to eat, what to put in your mouth, what to call him, and what people he chose to do certain things with. And we don't keep none of it. At least you don't keep none of it. And that's why you're going to remain in the condition you're in. But once the truth comes to you, then you have to make adjustments after you hear the truth. Or if you do not make adjustment to it, let's see what he says, Brother Micaiah, in St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. 9, verse 40 and 41. What
does it say? We're going over to the book of St. John, We're going to pick it up at chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 40 and verse 41. The book of St. John, chapter 9, verse 40 and verse 41. Verse 40 reads, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of Yahweh."
Hey, hold on. Hold on, you're online. Now, you want to read what you want to read now, huh? I'm in St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. So now, you want to read what you want to read tonight, huh?
Nah, just the wrong chapter, sir. That's all. St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41.
What does it say that, young line?
Verse 40 reads, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" Verse 41 reads, "Yahweh the Son said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remains."
Now, look what he's saying. Now, he said, now, if you was blind and didn't have, you don't have no sin if you're blind. I mean, it's a person. If a person blind, he's blind. But once you say you see and you chose not to do the Bible thing, that's when the clock will start ticking on you. So all of a sudden, you say, well, I know what this man's saying, but I'm going to do what my flesh tell me to do. Guess what? That's when the clock starts ticking on you. When you say you know. So when you tune into this broadcast or the Six Anointed Camps of Voices of the Truth is Right, and once you validate it and check it and see is it so, and you say, oh, I know now. Oh, I know why I'm sickly. Oh, I know why I'm a mean person. Oh, I got the answer. Now, if you don't correct that, that's when your sins remain. And the biblical definition of sin, young line, is 1 John on the right side of the book, chapter 3, verse 3. And what is the biblical definition of sin? You thought sin was smoking and drinking? No. Cursing? You thought that was sin was? No. Let's find what the Bible says sin is. 1 John, right side of the book, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. What is the Bible definition of sin? Come on.
1 John, chapter 3, verse 3 and verse number 4. Verse 3 reads, "And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure." Verse 4. "Whatsoever cometh sin, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law."
You see, one thing about this Bible, this Bible's something else. See, if you don't pick this book up, and also you put it aside, you can tell when you're not stoking that book right. It always tells. Soon as you open your mouth, we'll know who's studying and who not. We'll know. Those seer, we'll know exactly who's studying and who not. Soon as you open your mouth, that's what he'll give you once you understand. This is what you was created to do. Once you know who you really are, according to the Bible, then you'll find out what you was really created to do in this time. Then you'll make adjustment to when you hear the truth. Now I know what my purpose is. I wasn't created to be doing this, but I gotta do that to pay my bills. But I can't cut this man short in his word, because this is what a blessing is in his word. Because I gotta be in position to help others. Like, for example, suppose somebody in your family is sick, and they don't know what the problem is, and the doctor's always going to tell you, take this and go home somewhere and give me your medical card so I can juice it up real good. But nobody tell you what causes a person to be sick. Then once you're sick, you got people can show you how to get out of a sickness about what to do according to the Bible. So that's why when we read Surat, these books were taken out in 1885, 14 books. You go in your computer and you put in the King James 1611. And you say, how many books was in the King James 1611? It'll come back 80 books. You say, why my Bible ain't got the 66 books in? In 1885, the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Protestants, they're taking them books out of your book, out of your Bible. Because if you got all this good information, you have just as much information we got, we can't duke you no more. See? So that's why you got, in your Bible, you got only 66 books. Then you go to your preacher, and you ask him, say, what happened between Malachi and Matthews? They'll say, your preacher said, oh, well, during the years that our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking. Now go on over there and pay your tithes and get away from me. See? Well, that's not true. 400 years of understanding was taken away from you by the Roman Catholic Church. That's when you got 66 books in your Bible. Your Bible's supposed to have 80 books in there. 14 books, and they got a little red book called Apocrypha. You go on your computer, and you order you a little red book called Apocrypha and put it right in the middle, right between Malachi and Matthews. Then when we call these names like Surat, you turn over there and peep at yourself. What it say in Surat 39:21 down to verse 23, young lion, what it say?
Hey, Surat. Chapter 39. You say 20 what?
Surat. Chapter 37. Verse number 20.
That was
verse
23. You say
21? Hey, Mother Z, I think you could bring that old strop, the one that got the hooks in it for the next class, and then maybe kind of put it up on that young lion's back to beat it back a little bit next week. He might have to get his back beat a little bit, and Mother Z. So bring that drop that beat the back when they draw dragging their feet. The Rock, chapter 37, verse 21-23. Yeah, come on in, young lion.
The book of The Rock, chapter 37, verses 21 down to 23. Verse 21 reads, for grace is not given him from Yahweh, because he is deprived of all wisdom. 22. Another is wise
to himself. Wait a minute, young line. What I'm looking for the Surat, what is it, 39:21, I'm looking for when he talks about what a wise person would do. Help me out there, young line. You got me all off track. I'm struggling right now, young line. Help me out. What do you need?
Okay, you want 39? Say Surat 39,
yes,
20, that's 23. That's 21 down to 23. Surat 37, 21 to 23.
23 okay,
reads.
All right, what I need.
Okay, the book of Surat, chapter 37, 21 down to 23. 21 reads. For grace is not given him from Yahweh, because he is deprived of all wisdom. 22. Another is wise to himself, and the fruits of understanding are commendable in his mouth. Verse 23. A wise man instructed his people. And 23. A wise seer instructed his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not.
So a seer's job is to correct it, is to instruct his people. And that is the key right there. You have to be able to tell, but you have to be clear about what people that the wise seer got to correct. Now, Mother, you read Proverbs 16, verse 7. You did read that with no problem. And it says that when a man's ways please the mighty one, he makes his enemies have peace with him. But how do you please him, mother? In 1 John, not giving that 3:22, how do you please this man with all his power? With all his power that's in the third heaven, how do you please him? Let's see, can we read, how do you please him? 1 John 3:22, out of the book, Mother E, come on.
Okay, 1 John 3:22.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get that. Let me turn right here. The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 22 reads, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his Torah instructions, the first 5 books of Moses, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
So, mother, what is pleasing in our mighty one's sight? What pleases him? What pleases him, mother? According to 3:22 of 1 John, what pleases that man way up and away when he's looking down on you? What pleases him? Come on.
Keeping the commandments, the first 5 books of Moses.
Excellent. So if you don't get nothing else out of this, understand one thing. When you pleasing your mighty one, that means you keeping the first 5 books of the Torah instruction. See, in the first 5 books even tell us what we're going to put in our mouth. Now, we know December 25th is coming up, and we clear with other lessons that the December 25th of the Bible, it is what? What is December 25th to the people of the book? Before we file out the people of the book of December 25th, what is it to you? But what pleases him is when you follow what he got written in this book. So if a preacher is standing before you talking a good game, and he's not reading a good game, then how you know you pleasing him? Because he made it plain in 1 Peter 4:11, young line, he made it plain how he wants you to operate his word to his people. He made it plain. So next time you sit among your preacher, or your leader, or your overseer, listen, ask him, what do this verse right here mean by the chief speaker of the nation of Israel in 4 verse 10 and 11? Hey, young line, what it say in 1 Peter verse 4, verse 10 and 11?
The book of 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10 reads, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahuwah. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Yahuwah. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Yahuwah gives, that Yahuwah in all things may be glorified through Yahuwah the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Now what is it saying? If anybody stands before you, he must have a verse on the table. He can stand on that verse as long as he wants to, but make sure you speaking from his word. If you minister, make sure you use the oracles of your mighty one. Don't have a conversation in leadership with no verse on the table. That's what he's saying. So if you ain't got no verse on the table, then we know clear that you've been instructed by the world. The Bible definition for a minister to make sure when he speaks, he got a verse on the table, then we'll expound on that verse. as long as he takes, as long as he feels that he needs to do so. But you got to have a verse on the table. If you ain't got no verse on the table, then you're not following the rules and regulations. See? Now, in 9:27, that young line of 1 Samuel, can you help those see it out in 9:27 and what it says in 9:27 of the book of 1 Samuel?
Okay, we're going over to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to read chapter 9, and we're going to read verse number 27. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 27 reads, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel, the seer, said to Saul, did the servant pass on before? And he passed on. But stand you still a while. I may show you the word of Yahweh."
Hear that? So that what he means by the office. Make sure you show on the people the words of the Almighty One. Now, suppose you don't understand that you're sickly. You got a problem. What you gonna do? The first thing you'll do, you're gonna take your loved one or take yourself to a doctor. But why don't you apply what the Almighty told you to do, according to this Bible? What did he tell you in the Bible to do and not to do? We're going to stop there for a minute. So remember, on the international side, it's over 700,000 strong. You're getting ready to do something on December 25th that's going to be contrary to the Bible. But one thing you need to know, that he got rules and regulations just like if you run that red light, they got rules and regulations. Somebody's going to come in and bring you that ticket book or that light going to catch you, right? He's got the rules and regulations of the Bible. December the 25th is only days away. You're going to do some things, but the Bible is not going to support it. And then you're going to be the, and first thing after your days over, you're going to have to go visit Doc Cook. Okay? But what did the man tell you to do that we can read, Mother? Hey, Mother Israel, what did the man say to man for man to do? We're going to 1:29 and 30. Let's see what he told man, what he told before he was a man. See, it's just like when you bring home a newborn baby. The baby don't ask where you gonna put my crib at, what kind of pillow I'm gonna have on me. You set everything up and you place that baby in there. The same thing about the creation of man. He set everything up for man, then brought man and put in there. And told him to dress this and keep this. And he also gave instructions for man what to do, what not to do for his family. 1:29-30. Help me out there, Mother. Genesis 1:29-30. What did he tell man in 1:29-30 of Genesis? What did he say there, Mother?
Genesis chapter 1:29-30. Genesis chapter 1:29. And Yahweh said, "Behold, I have given you every herb that has seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me, and it was so."
So, the Almighty gave you a color that you're supposed to consume in your everyday eating. He said, in your everyday eating, what color food you're supposed to eat that he gave to man? According to verse 30, what color of food you supposed to have inside of your body according to your maker that made for man, then placed them in the garden, then told a man, this is the color of food I want you to consume in your mouth. What color, according to verse 30 there, mother?
Green.
Green food. Green. What he said for man is to eat green food, man. So man's supposed to have in his diet, when it's better have, go to cook him something. She's supposed to make sure what he get ready to eat is what color food, mother, according to 1 verse 30?
Green food. Green food.
Now, when you precept that mother about this green food, what do he say to David? Then he sends the mental spirit down to tell David something about this. Now, we're going to precept the Bible to 100, and Brother Mackay, you have me, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1, waiting on me. So now, because you know, you're getting ready to do something on this December 25th. You know, Grandmama is going to make all the cakes and chillings, and they're going to make a lot of cake chillings, and they're going to have a lot of pig everywhere. Ham, they're going to have all that stuff every direction, right? Right? Ham, chillings, macaroni, spaghetti. They're going to have all that going for you, right? That's going to be happening. Cakes and pies going to be everywhere. Right? Right. But the mental spirit came out of heaven to tell David something in Psalms 104, verse 14. What do you say we can read that, mother?
Look at
Psalms 104.
Psalm 104.
Yes. Verse 14.
Psalm 104, verse 14. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle and herd for the service of man, that he made rain for food out of the earth.
He said herbs. Herbs, and we know what color herbs. What color herbs, mother?
Green herbs
for the service of your body. Green food. Make sure you get you a big belly full of green food. That is for the service of your body. Green food. Make sure when you sit around on December 25th, make sure you got a lot of green food in your body. Because that is the service of man. Now, if you want to make a full course meal, okay, I want to do something for my better half. I want to make a full course meal. Okay, good. Brother Kai, let's see how you make a full course meal in Numbers 11, verse 5. I want to make a full course meal. I know he don't got his check, and he bring that check home and put it on the table. So I will do something good for my better half. I'm going to make him a full-course meal. Let's see what a full-course meal look like with the Bible open up in 11, verse 5 of Numbers. What is a full-course meal there, young lion? We can read.
Book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 5. 5, read. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt, freely. The cucumber. And the melon, and the leek, and the onion, and the garlic.
Excellent. Now, there go your full-course Bible meal. If you want to make your better half happy and don't have them all clogged up, why don't you give him 11, verse 5, a full-course meal. A full-course meal that won't have him. So when you get through eating, he's ready to fall asleep. Or you got to take him to Doc Cook. Give him a full course meal. You just read a full course meal. Right there. In 11, verse 5. That is the Bible
full-course meal. Now, what is the opposite of the Bible's full-course meal? We go on to Leviticus chapter 11, pick it up verse 1. Now, let's see which one you're going to do. You remember we read over there in St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41? It said, now, once you say you know, and you choose not to do so, that's when your sins remain. And sin is breaking the rules and regulations of the Bible. Oh, I know I'm supposed to eat that, but I eat it anyway. Okay, good. Then you just face the consequences. Because he made it plain, a mother eat. He made it plain in 7:21 of Sacramento. What do you mean we can read? So he made it. And remember one thing, on the international side, over 700,000 strong, your Bible's supposed to have 80 books in it. The book called Apocrypha, the Roman Catholic Church removed 14 books from you in 1885. They said, you don't need these books, because if you read these books along with the Bible and you sip on the right ministry, you will know exactly what's going on, and we can't afford for you to know what's going on. We got to, how we going to make money if we don't keep you sick? And you know what keeps you sick? It's doing part of it for what this book is saying. Because we easily write you a prescription. We love to hear you to say, what's wrong with you? And you already know your head's already is stuck on writing up prescription after prescription. God, dog. It's going to tear my Medicaid up. Yeah, I know it is. I might think I got that long car there in that big long house that I can have a bullhorn to holler back and forth to my kids on. Because it's so stupid. We the peoples of the book, and we got more problems in the body, diabetes, even got sugar. We got more problems in the body than anybody. You know why? So we don't know how to cure ourselves. Whatever they do to you, the Bible got a cure to it. You just got to know how to find it. You got to know how to be in the right ministry to show you what to do. This is how you cure your body. Got problems in your body? They mess your body up. The Bible got the answer how you straighten yourself up. But you got to be in the right ministry to hear. And we got six vocations. You know, get in one and sit down and learn how to help yourself to help your loved ones. So what are we reading?
I didn't get the book. I wrote 7:21. I don't know. Sometimes I can't hear what you're
right.
saying. 7:21.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's...
Hey, Mother E.
Mm-hmm.
Second Ezra 7:21.
Oh, Second Ezra. Okay.
Yeah. 7:21, what'd that say?
Okay. Thank you. Second Ezra, chapter 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did 21 say?
Second Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21. But Yahweh has given straight commandments to such as come, what they should do to live, even as they come, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
So he don't give you straight laws, commandments, what to do to avoid sin, Doc Cooks. He said, I don't give you straight order how you can avoid Doc Cook. You can take him out of your speed dial telephone. He don't give you straight orders how you can fix yourself back up, according to the Bible. Now, he going to show you what mess you up from the Bible. We go on 11 chapter and find out what mess you up. Now, let's see what mess you up. So he going to show you how to fix yourself up. Let's see what mess you up that we can read. We go on to 11 chapter verse 1 there, young lion. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11 out of the first five books. Let's see who talking. Let's see what he's saying in 11, verse 1 and 2. Then we'll skip down to 2, down to verse 12. Let's see what's going on. We're going to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1-2, then skip down to verse number 7-12. Leviticus 11, 1-2, 7 down to verse 12. What did it say there, young lion?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 1, verse 2, skipping down to verse 7, down to verse 12. The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 1 reads, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse 7, and the swine, though he divide the hook and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you.
First, that swine is that pig. That swine is the pig. He said, I don't care how you dress that pig up. I don't care how many pork chops you get, center cut, end cut. I don't care how that pig is dressed up. I don't care if he's a farm-raised or wild pig. He said that pig. He said, when it come down to that pig, what he said in verse 7 about that pig?
It is unclean to you.
And what else about it he said about it?
Verse 7. And the swine, though he divide the hook, and to be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you.
Verse 8.
Verse 8. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you.
So, Mr. Preacher, you can't pray over no hog and eat it. Hey, Pastor, come on and pray over this old pig with the apple in his mouth. No, Mr. Preacher, you cannot pray over the pig with the apple in his mouth. You can't cut him low. Well, cut him low. And now you can eat it. Now you blessing the, you can't bless no hog. The Almighty that made the body, and you cannot bless you eating no hog. There's no blessing on you eating hog. It's going to cause you all kind of problems in your body. That is no return. And Doc Cook will only give you the medicine that you need, put that stuff to sleep about an hour or two, and keep you in all type of trouble. How you eliminate trouble in your body, why don't you do what the man say? Don't touch it and don't eat it. That was the man that made the body say. Mm-hmm. And what he says, hey, mother, what did he says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27? Can you help those see out? What did the Almighty say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27? What did he say there, Mother E?
Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 26 reads, and Yahweh said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So Yahweh created man in his own image, and the image of Yahweh created he him, male and female. Created he him.
And what did he say in 2 verse 7? And what else he say in 2 verse 7? He put this man together. And what does he do for this man? And 2 verse 7, mm-hmm. That mother.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, and the Yahweh formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So this man know more about your body than you know. Mm-hmm. This is your man. This is a man that hit you, and now he's giving this man instructions
on what to do and what not to do to avoid punishment. So now he instructing this man, hey, man, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I don't want you to do. Now, I'm telling man what I want him to do and what I don't want him to do. What I tell Moses, all the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, in Leviticus 11, verse 8, what did I say to Moses to tell Aaron, to tell all of the children of Israel, the peoples of the book, in 11, verse 8? What did he say there?
Oh, Micaiah? The book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you.
Mm-hmm. So he the one telling you not to eat no center cut pork chops. He the one is telling you what not to eat. It's pertaining to the hog. You don't eat it, you don't touch it. This is what the Lord wanted that made your body say. Then now he said, get off into the water. He said, okay, now I got you straight on what to eat that's running around on dry land. Now let me tell you what to do when it comes down to what's in the water. Verse 9. Listen to this in verse 9.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 9. Verse 9 reads, these shall you eat of all that are in the water. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the sea, and in the river, them shall you eat.
He said, now when it comes down to anything in the water that you catch out of the water or go to your friendly neighborhood store, make sure it got fins and scales. Means catfish, shrimp, lobster, frog legs, you do not eat. Oh, my shrimp got to have fins and scales, or you do not eat it. Farm-raised catfish or wild catfish, you do not eat it. Huh? Frog legs, shrimp, and lobster tails and all that, he said, if it's in the water, it must have fins and scales. If it do not have fins and scales, you don't eat it. You hear that, Moses? Tell Aaron and tell the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, what to do and what not to do. Now, you're giving orders. And what are you saying, Nate? What's the Nate verse say?
Book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, and all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the river, of all that move in the water, and of any living thing which is in the water, they shall be an abomination unto you.
He said, you eat is an abomination to you. And all the mental spirit going to do is take notes on it. So when you eat anything that's in that water, shrimp, lobsters, frog legs, and all types of, you know, what do you call that thing, octopus, snake, all that kind of stuff, that's an abomination to you. See? So he's telling you what not to do to avoid punishment. Because isn't we the number one sickest peoples on the planet? Right? You know why we going to stay sick? It's what you assume. And if you're not getting no word, you're really in trouble. You take word and being obedience to obey. What's the next verse say?
Book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 11. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcass in abomination.
Mm-hmm. 12.
Whatsoever has no fin nor scales in the water, that shall be an abomination unto you.
He said, if it don't have fins and scales on, it's an abomination to you. We can take care of the Chinese food and the Japanese food, but it's another lesson. We got to leave that alone. So you understand what he's saying? So the children of the book, called children of Israel, the one you call African-American, Negro, and color, you had a dietary law from your mighty one, what to eat and what not to eat, to avoid punishment. Punishment means sickness, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer. All these problems you have in your body is because of what you eat and what you hear. So you got to hear right and eat right. And remember, you got to do the things that please him. And mother, read what pleased him again, mother, in 1 John 3:22. See, now, and you got to do the things that please the one that made you. Now look in the mirror and you tell me, are you doing the things that please him according to 1 John 3:22? Let's see what pleases him. And you look in the mirror and tell me, are you doing it? 1 John 3:22. Come on, mother.
1 John 3:22 reads, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his total instruction, the first five books of Moses, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
So, mother, what pleases your mighty one in his sight? What pleases him?
Keeping the commandments, the first five books of Moses.
You see that? And Leviticus is in the first five books. So remember, the first five books, you examine yourself from these first five books. Now, if you're doing the things in these first five books, you please him. Then he said, why don't you ask me something? But you got to first make sure you're pleasing him. Why you ask me something by going to a job and you don't put the 40 hours in, but you're in the paycheck line? So why are you here? Well, I'm here for the paycheck. Well, you didn't put no 40 hours in. What you mean you want a paycheck? You don't get no paycheck unless you put your 40 hours in. You got to come out the paycheck line. See? So to please him, you got to do what the man tell you to do. Either one can turn any illness from your body. And look at the Roman Catholic Church. Big Timothy Dolan Center. Where that at? Let's get a precept on that. Let's see if we can get a precept on that, young man. Let's see if we can get a precept on it. If you do what pleases man, he'll. Let's see if we read that. See, we don't mind you sending your texts on the network, but we're going to see if that's so. So we're going to. If you get this man right, he'll get you right. We're going to see, can we read that? Let's go to the book called Exodus 3, that young lion. And we're going to look right down at verse number 24 and 25. Look what it says in Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. This is for the WCC. I mean, for the latter day. I mean, Roman Catholic Church. Out of New York. Let's see what we can read in Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. What it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 24 and verse 25. Verse 24 reads, you shall not bow down to their Yahweh, nor serve them, nor do after their work, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quiet break down their enemies. Verse 25. And you shall serve the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Did that man just say it? He said he playing around with anything. He said, I'll take sickness away from you. It's gone down the road a piece. Get away from that body. That's when you got it right. He said, I snatch sickness away from your body you got me right. That's what he just said. Now, let's get a little bit more on that by turnover page there, you know what I'm saying? Let's get a little bit more out of that. So he let you know, well, that's good enough. Still proved our point. So there it is right there. He said, I'll take the sickness away from you. That's if, when you call on me, you line up what I say. Let's go back to Leviticus again, 11. Go back to Leviticus chapter 11 again, and then he's going to give Moses some more. He's going to tell Moses some more things in verse 43 down to verse 47. Back to Leviticus. Now, he instructed Moses. And remember we read earlier, a wise seer would instruct his people. So it's all about instructing, because remember, Amalans on all the holidays the world got, the Amalans be, they have to come and do double time, and you hear more Amalans running around on days that you are over at yourself eating all that pork barbecue and all that starch food in your body, and then you wonder why your head's spinning. And the Amalans be just like vultures, just riding around, waiting on you to call them. They already there, because you know why? You have done everything contrary to what the Bible tells you to do, and you full up with all that stuff in you that's contrary to the Bible. Then you got to go get all types of pills to take. Huh? But this is the medicine you need to avoid this. This is what you need, is to understand his word. After you know who you really are, not who they tell you you are. Remember, in the early part of the broadcast, they had a man got his back beat because they had to change his name, then change his program in the first 30 minutes. And they said, it's a name that people of the book be calling on, and we got to get that name out their mouth, too, that YHWH name, because that name is the game changer. Long as we got them hollering the name that they got, that we gave them, we know we got time. But our time starts running short once you use the name that the Bible say. Remember, English started, they started thinking about it in 449 A.D., English became official language in 1382. All Bible manuscripts was closed in 96 A.D. At the time of 96 A.D., it was no vowels. No A-E-I-O-U. It wasn't no vowels. So the name that they call on from Adam to John was four letters. Y-H-W-H. In the 6th century, the Masoretes, the citizens of Esau, added vowel points in there. They put the A and the E in and polluted his name in their mind. Because he knew they was going to do it by calling in from the beginning. But it's time for you to catch it. You caught on this man. He have no vowels. It wasn't no vowels. Take the vowels out and you will see Y-H-W-H. That is the true name of your maker. He gave a people instructions what to do to avoid punishment. He gave you a dietary. He gave you a dress code. He done told you all. He said, why don't you do the things that pleases me, then ask me something. But first of all, do what pleases him. Now we're in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 43 down to verse 47. What does it say?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 43 down to verse 47. Verse 43 reads, you shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Verse 44, for I am Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. You should therefore sanctify yourself and you shall be righteous, for I am righteous. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 45. For I am Yahweh that bring you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Yahweh. You shall therefore be righteous, for I am righteous. 46. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the water and of every creature that creep upon the earth. Verse 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
He said, make a difference what you put in your mouth. He said, every beast prays a part. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
The catfish prays every dead thing that's in the water. The catfish go down there and take care. That's his job. Everything that's foul on the ground, you put a hog there, he take care of that. If you got a snake problem, go get you a couple hogs. The snakes, the hog lay around him and wait on snakes. Maybe the snake hit him all on his back, up on his belly. Anywhere, a snake can bite down on a pig, and all of a sudden you watch that snake. His head will start spinning. Ain't that something? His head will start spinning. You know why? He got that snake, that pig juice in his belly.
Hmm.
And then once his head starts spinning around and that pig see that he's all dizzy, then you know what that pig will do? He'll go from the end of him and eat him all the way up to the top of his head.
Hmm.
That's how deadly that pig is. That pig is more deadly than a rattlesnake poison. You want to get rid of any snakes, get you some pigs. And they will lay out there and let the snake ease up on him and be peeping out of one eye, hoping he hit him with his venom. And the venom in that pig get into the snake belly. Now that snake head be spinning all around and around. Oh, you dizzy now, huh? Yeah, I'm dizzy now. Well, it's time for me to eat you up then. That's how deadly that pig is. But we love us some center cut pork chop, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We love all that. They call that thing on top of it. What it called, mother? What that thing they put on top of that ham? Pineapple. Thank you, that mother. Pineapple. Put the pineapple on top of that ham. And that hog. Put pineapples on top of that. And just weigh it out, don't you? Then wonder why you all dizzy, just like the snake, all dizzy. We tell you things that are healthy because we are the most sickest peoples in the world because we have lost our identity. We don't know the rule of the Bible. We think we somebody else. Until you know who you are, give me that in the book of Thomas, verse 3 there, young lion. Give me the book of Thomas, verse 3. And tell me what that say. See, remember
okay.
One thing. Come, pray the people go to children of Israel. That's our goal. And once you get on track, you say, I'll take care of them once you get on track. But you got to know who you are. You got to know that you're not what they call you are according to the Bible. Because every name they call you, where are them names that in the Bible? That means you got to be somebody. The name you call, the name you sign on your application, is not in the Bible. So who are you? Put the Bible open. The name that you put on your application, where are the names that in the Bible? They don't even exist today. See that? That means you ain't nobody. But look what he says to Thomas and 3. What he say we can read that young lion, Thomas verse 3.
In the book of Thomas, verse number 3. Verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, see, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will proceed. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will proceed. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the son of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty.
He's the reason why you're in the condition you're in right now, because of yourself. That's the reason you're in the condition you're in now. It's not that no other nation got you down. You got yourself down. Because he gave you strict rules and regulations to avoid punishment. Didn't he, Mother Israel in Deuteronomy 28, verse number 47 to 49? Didn't he tell Moses to tell Aaron and the children of Israel some good stuff? What did he say that we can read, Mother? In Deuteronomy 47 down to 49? What can we read, Mother? What can we read?
That's Deuteronomy 28, 47 to 49.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. What do that say, Mother E?
Okay. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 47 to 49. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. Because thou servest not the Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Yahweh shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed thee. 49. The Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as swiftly as an eagle flies.
He said, since you want to serve him, and since you don't want to get happy and be glad by serving him, he said, I'm going to have you serve your enemy.
Right.
And guess what? And you getting ready to serve your enemy. See? And you getting ready to serve your enemy. Now we're going to Revelation, end time prophecy. Remember, in Revelation 1, 17 through 19 and 4:1, John wrote the hereafter. He wrote the hereafter. So what John getting ready to tell you about what's to happen hereafter, around our time. Now, John get ready to do some talking, Brother Micaiah. And let's see what he told John to write in Revelation chapter 14, and we'll pick it at verse 7. Let's see what he says to John to write. We're going to Revelation chapter 14, end time prophecy, and pick it at verse number 7. Now, John completed everything that the Mighty One wanted to know. When John put his pen down in 96 A.D., his story was told. It ain't no story after 96 A.D. Any story that you learn after 96 A.D. pertaining to the Mighty One is from the Mighty One of this earth, and that's Satan the devil. Because his story has been told. What to do to avoid punishment. Now, look what he told John to write in Revelation 14, verse 9. Let's read a little bit there, young lion. What is 14, verse 7?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and we're picking up at verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahuwah and give honor to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him.
Hold that point.
Yes,
hold that point. He said, the hour is coming. He said, fear your mighty one. Fear him. Hey, mother, what that mean? In 1:11, verse 10 of the book of 111 verse 10. In Psalms, what that means. And now listen, the hour have come. Fear your mighty one and keep what he got written in his book. That's what he just said. What that supposed to mean, Mother, in 111 verse 10 of Psalms? What that supposed to mean? 111 verse 10.
Psalm 111 verse 10 reads. Psalm 111 verse 10. Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction in the first five books of Moses. His praise endureth forever.
You hear that? So when you fear him, it's not that you're shaking in your boots. No, you're doing what he says. That's when your fear starts. When you're doing what he says, that is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of him recognizing you got the picture. Now, precept that to Job 28:28. Precept that, Mother Eve, to Job 28:28. Mm-hmm. So you ain't fearing him by doing. Nope. You fear him by doing what the Bible tell you to do.
Okay,
that's what you fear him for. Bible. Hey, Mother, 28 verse 28 of Job says, what does it say in 28:28?
That's where I'm going. Job chapter 28, verse 28. The book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Yeah, Mother. So they go definitely tell a man to do. Now what did David's boy say in 9:9 of Proverbs? What, let's see, did David's boy Solomon say anything different than Issachar boy Job said, or what his daddy said? Let's see, did the wisest man in the world deviate from all that information that's written before him? We're going to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. What it say in Proverbs chapter 9, Mother E. Israel? What do verse 9 and 10 say out of the 9th chapter?
Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he shall be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the righteous is understanding.
Yeah. He said, when somebody just wants to know the truth, hear the truth, they'll make adjustments. He said, but those that a wise person make an adjustment, he said, listen, man, I'm looking on my dresser. Look at all these pills I got on my dresser. God, oh. But a wise person would say, wait a minute. Maybe it's not that feasible for me to continue to call in Doc Cook. Maybe I need to apply some of this Bible and see which way that'll go. That's what a wise person would do. They apply some of this Bible that pleases him. Because he can tell sickness whenever he gets ready. Get away from my man or my woman. He can tell sickness. Get on up. Go find you another lesson. We can show you that, but not in this one. So he controls everything. He'll give you straight information how to live, what to intake in your body, what not to do, and what to do. Now, also says something else, Mother, in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Said something else too. He said something. He sent the minister spirit down to Joshua. And he said, Joshua, are you the man of the hour right now? No, sis, came from heaven. He said, yes. He said, well, I got something to tell you that the Son and the Father told me to tell you. And let's see what he says in Judges 2, verse 1 and 2. We'll bypass three for time's sake. What do 2:1-2 say?
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, "And the minister spirit of the Yahweh come up from Gilgal to Boshen and said, I make you to go up out of Egypt, the house of bondage, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altar, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?"
So he's saying, I told you, make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land. I'll give you straight. Don't do it. That means it's not that you don't work with the peoples of the land. You can do all that. But what I'm telling you what not to do is make no league with them. That means when you get through with your job, you go home. No, you ain't going to accept the indictment over there to be eating all that starch food. No. When you do your job with them, but after the job over with, you go home. That's what he's saying. Not that you can't work. You both do all the work you can. All over time, you can get in. There ain't no problem about that. But after the work is over, go home.
Mm-hmm.
Get in your book. That's what I'm telling you. Don't sit around and cat talk. Because the more you sit around and cat talk, you'll read maybe in tomorrow's lesson what the outcome of that by of the book. Now come on back there, young lion. Let's go back to that 14th chapter. You read verse 7. Let's read a little bit more. Let's see what he's saying. Let's read a little bit more. Where you at, young lion? WPC just said, we going to mute the young lion talking for tonight. Mute the young lion. He is still talking for tonight. What? Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, can you pick that verse up on me, Elder? Where you at, Elder? Can you pick up that verse in Revelation chapter 14? Because one thing about it, the word will always cause those that skin and grain whip you, you know, to always do something contrary. So they just put a M-U-T-E on the young lion. He's through talking for tonight, according to the WCC. Now, Elder, Mr. Tills, in the 14th chapter, can you help those see our verse number 8? What do 14 verse 8 say? So I said we're going to mute him too. The elder is too talking tonight. Right, Mother, ready there, Mother Z. We got to get ready to, get in where you fit in at. Hey, Mother E. So it looked like it just me and you. Because of the mute of the participants. So now, in Revelation 14, now, Mother, let's read a little bit. We're going to take our time. We'll read a little bit. And we'll get a few more in. But you see, this word going to stand for itself. So in Revelation chapter 14, pick up verse number 8, Mother. Mother E, what it say in 14, verse 8? Let's read a little bit.
The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 8. "And there followed another ministering spirit, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of her wrath. of her fornication. Verse 9.
Okay.
And
hold that point, Mother. Hold that point there. Hold that point right there. So he said, Babylon have fallen. Because he said, Babylon have made all nations drink the wine of her fornication. All nations have wine. He said, everybody have got a sip of that wine. And so it's a timeline on Babylon going down. That's what he's saying. He said, Babylon have fallen. See, remember in the 46, 9 through 11, he called the end from the beginning. He let you know the great city of Babylon have fallen. Now, Mother Z, help those see out, and what he tell us to do in the 18th chapter, verse 4, Mother Z. Hey, Mother Z, Israel, what do it tell us to do? Because he's telling you that Babylon have fallen. So what he's telling us to do that we can read in End Time Prophecy in 18, verse 4. What say that, Mother Z?
Could you repeat it? See, I didn't hear you.
18,
Revelation,
verse
4. Revelation 18, verse 4.
Yes, ma'am.
Revelation.
What
did
you
tell
us to do it?
Mm-hmm. Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her pledge.
Uh-huh. What did verse 5 say, Mother?
Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquity, sin.
So, in the 18th chapter, verse 4, he said, come out of her, my people. Now, that's a big verse there, Mother Z. People that we can read that he wants to come out of her. Let's precept that to Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. Let's find out, Mother Z, Israel, who is his people that he wants particularly to come out of her, my people. Who are we talking about in Matthew 2, verse 6?
Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Yahweh Judah, are not the least among the princes of Yahweh Judah, for out of you shall come a government that shall rule my people Israel.
Oh, so Mother Z, Israel, who is the Almighty's people?
Israel.
Excellent.
Yeah,
the 12 tribes of Israel. Look what we're going to find out. So we thought his people was everybody, huh? No. Let's get another one out of that, Mother. Run to 1 Samuel 2:1. Let's find what the seer says about that in 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. So he's telling you in Revelation End Time Prophecy, enough is enough. Time is running out. You've got to come out of her. What they don't put on the table, you got to leave it alone. You're getting ready to do something real big that is contrary to the Bible. On December 25th, you think December 25th means the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to show you in the Bible that is not so. It's telling you to please him, you got to do what he say do. We're going to find out shortly. First Samuel 2:1, what it say?
First Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, verse 1. And it come to pass after... Sorry, I'm in Second Samuel. Sorry about that. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my mind rejoice in the Yahweh. My horn is exalted in the Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.
And you know what? We got to rejoice in his salvation. And all the way you're going to rejoice in his salvation, you got to do what this man tell you to do. Now, what he tell you to do is what we can read. Let's come on back, Mother. Come on back to that Revelation again. And now we in the 14th chapter. We're going to pick up at verse 9. Now we're going to end time prophecy. He's telling you what to do and what not to do. Now, John is writing the hereafter. And 14 verse 9, Mother E, let's read a little bit and see what he told John to put in writing. He said, well, you know, whole world of it, it's going to pay me no never mind. That's what he say. But still put it in writing. So somebody going to pick up my writing and read to those that's going to be part of the salvation I got come for. Let's see what he tell you in 14 verse 9 of Revelation, Mother. Hey, Mother Z. I mean, Mother E. 14 verse 9, what it say?
The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 9. And the third minister spirit follow them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Verse 10. The same shall drink.
Hey, hold that point right there. Let's analyze verse 9. Now take your time there, Mother. We got plenty of time. Let's analyze. The Almighty is telling, well, look at the Latter-day Saints said, how you know that's the Almighty talking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on, Mother Zeke. Let's see if we know who talked by going to 1:17 through 19 of the book of Revelation. Now, a lot of people want to know, how do we know that's the Almighty talking to John? Well, let's see, can we find out in writing in Revelation chapter 1, 17-19. Let's take care of Latter-day Saints, 1:17 through 19. What did it say there, Mother Z?
Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Revelation. Oh, wait a minute. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And have the keys of hell and of death. Verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter.
Wow. So he says, now ain't no man can say that I'm the one that was dead but now live forevermore. So we know that got to be the big boss man's son out of heaven. So that's who we're talking to John, the one say, now write the thing that you see and the things that's going to be hereafter. So when John put his pen down in 96 A.D., the Almighty Father's story was told by giving to his son, to give it to the angel, to bring it down to John. So after 96 A.D., it ain't no story to tell no more. It ain't no new revelation coming. John wrote the hereafter. And he made it plain, he made it plain, Mother E, in Titus 1, verse 2. He said something real plain in Titus 1, verse 2. He made it plain, Mother E. What did he say that we can read in Titus chapter 1, verse 2? He told John to write the hereafter. So when John pinned down in 96 A.D., the almighty story had been told. Abide by it, you're going in. If you don't, you're not going in. This is what he said in Titus 1, verse 2. What did he say that we can read, Mother E., Titus 1, verse 2?
Okay, the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. And hope of eternal life with Yahweh that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
See that? So if you want eternal life, he say, I'm not lying.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in Amos 3, verse 7, mother, he says something, and this is how I operate. He said, I'm not lying, and this is how I operate. In Amos 3, verse 7. Let's see what it says, Mother, that how he operates. Amos 3, verse 7. He said, I'm not lying about nothing, John. You tell them if they want eternal life in the kingdom or do they want eternal damnation in the fire, it's up to them. But I'm not lying. And this is what he told his message to that we can read in the book called Amos 3, verse 7. What is that, Mother E?
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 reads. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servant the seer.
See that? So if he got anything to say to a man, how do you operate, Mother? If he got anything to say to man, how do we operate according to 3, verse 7 of Amos?
He revealed his secret to the seer.
That's how he operates. So that's how he operates. So if you want to know what he's doing today, then you get in contact with those that he have put in charge of his word to give to you. Now back up to Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8. Let's see what it says in Jeremiah 20, verse 8. If anybody that stand before you, he got to be doing exactly what the former seers have did. And Jeremiah going to talk about it, Mother, in the 28th chapter, verse 8. What did he say?
Okay, Jeremiah 28, verse 8. Okay, let me get this. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 8. The seer that have been before me and before thee of old prophesy both against man, against many countries, and against great kingdoms of woe and of evil and of pestilence.
Now, pestilence means diseases. He said the seers have been before him, though Jeremiah said they talk about pestilence. That's disease. Look at all these diseases we got right now. We got things called all type of things, right? He he prophesied about it. He said war. You got all type of wars that's coming up, right? So all these things are here, and he prophesied of kingdoms going down. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing everybody down before you. He will tell you where you stand at, according to the Bible, how to correct yourself and your family while you hearing the message. That is the job of a seer, is to tell you what the Bible is saying and make it plain to you. Because in the book of Ecclesiastes, out of the regular book, there must be. What do it say in 1 verse 9? 1 verse 9.
Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 reads, the thing that have been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
He said, the way people was in the past, they read back now doing the same thing, but doing it a little bit slicker now. That's all. He said, ain't no new thing. He said, you can catch him today. All you got to do know what my word is saying. He said, ain't no new thing. He said, what you saying? Because you got computers and everything else. He said, but ain't no new thing. He said, you can catch him of days of old. Now, but see, but you got to know who you are and understand what is written in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, Mother E. Hey, Mother E, in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 41. Can you up those see out in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 41? He said, it's nothing. See, I don't care if they got all kind of computers and all this new stuff. He said, ain't nothing new. You just got to know how to line up what's going on through the pages of the book. He said, there's no new thing. Everything that was back there is here today. Ain't nothing new. He said, all you got to do is remember what my word is saying, and that'll help you in time to come. That's what he just said. Because he says in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 41. What do you say there, Mother, that we can read?
I mean, the first book of Maccabees chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 41. Verse 29. And after 2 years fully expired, the king sent his chief collector of tribute unto the city of Judah, who come unto Judah, with a great multitude, verse 30, and speak peaceable words unto them. But all were deceived, for when they had given him credentials, he fell suddenly upon the city and smoothed it very sore and destroyed much people of Israel. Verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
Yeah. Did you hear that? You hear what we're reading? He said, now, King said a great man there with a whole big company of people. You know, talking at just like a politician. He come in your community and tell you all the good things he's going to do. And all the time, he's lying like a rug.
Yeah.
He's lying. He says, that's what they do. Then he'll tell you after they beat you down real good, we all need to come to be one people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I got to forget everything that I have ever learned, and now I got to get like you. See that? Mm-hmm. After you stay with this. And that's exactly what's going on in a few more days. The day of the feast. Shortly, and you into that. But it's nothing new. Now, I got to get a precept on that. He says in 20, I mean 12. Got to get a precept about that, mother. So he says, they come with you with looking, skinning, grinning, looking good. But all in their mind is to cut you down. It's to make you do something contrary to what he got written. He said, now, after we came with the seat and made promise to you, then after you start agreeing, he had his men to come out and stick that knife in you that didn't do right. They haven't changed their policies even to the day, the other 17 nations. They do the same thing, like a politician. They come and talk smooth to you. More of the time, he got a drawn sword in his hand to cut you short. And he tell you, ain't nothing new under the sun. So if you want to know what they're doing today, look back at yesterday. Look what it says in the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10. And a mother, Z, give me that Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 31 to 33. Had that waiting on me, mother. Proverbs, chapter 31, chapter 3, verse 31 to 33. And mother E, come on back to Sirach 12, verse 10. Let's read a couple of verses. What does it say?
Okay. Sirach 12, verse 10. The book of Sirach, chapter 12. The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10. Never trust thine enemy, for like as from rust, so is his weakness. Oh no. Never trust thy enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his weakness.
Yeah, read another verse.
Verse 11. Though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take it good heed and beware of him, and thou shall be unto him as if thou had wiped a looking glass, and thus shall know that his blood has not been altogether wiped away.
He said, just like a piece of iron. If you leave that iron out there long enough, I don't care if it's iron. Soon or later, you see the rust come on that iron. Mm-hmm. And just like you clean a glass, and you can look in that glass and say, if that glass is clear all the way, you can tell that glass mm-hmm. is clean all the way. And that's just mm-hmm. how the wicked operates. It's just like you looking through a glass. You pick that glass up, you can see, is there any dirt in that glass? He's off. They got a little dirt in the corner of the glass. That's what a man trying to tell you. He's saying, listen, he said, we know he going to do something sooner or later. He going to get you. Or later. He might come finish, but he going to get you sooner or later. That's what he say. So go ahead and press yourself up with the other nation. He says he going to get you sooner or later. Hey, Mother Z, what it says in Proverbs, now his son got something to say, in the third chapter, verse 31, down to verse 33. What did his son say that we can read in Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 31 to 33?
What did it say?
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 through 33. Verse 31. Envy you not the oppressed, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Yahweh, abomination to the Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteousness. Verse 33, the curse of the Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he is blessing. The curse of the Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the inhabitant of the just.
Mm-hmm. So he says, never trust your enemies. Somebody just say, we'll leave that part like it is. Hey, mother, now we're getting ready to do something on the 25th. Right, and they'll say, well, the reason I do the December 25th because it's our Lord Savior's birthday. So what I'm doing, I know it ain't no Santa Claus and all that, but the reason I'm doing December 25th because it's our Lord and Savior's birthday. That was right. Well, let's see what the Almighty saying that he told Paul to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 on to verse 26. Let's see what the Bible says, what the man said to do to please him. Let's see what we can read, mother. And remember, you can review this tape again back at 9:30, 9:45. If you missed the beginning of the tape, which is a good hour or so that you missed, you can log back in and by putting in YHWH Radio Live. YHWH Radio Live, about 9:45. And then you get a chance to go back over the broadcast or pull up any broadcast that you want to hear to help you and your loved ones. Now, let's see, remember, in last night's lesson we read in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16, which we're not reading tonight, that he raised Paul from the womb to put some writing down. And this is what Paul wrote in 11. Matter of fact, read verse 1. Let's get started, Mother E. What it says in 1 Corinthians verse 1.
Okay, he said 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And
Let's read verse 1 to get started before we get down to verse 26. What did it say in verse 1?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of your father's son. Verse 26.
He said, you follow me. He said, follow me, for example, as I follow Yahweh the Son. He said, follow me. Let's what he wants you to follow by skipping down to verse 23 to 26. So Paul is talking to the scattered Israelites that's over there in Corinth called Corinthians. Remember, we call many names. We call African American, Negro in color, and Supercoon. So we got all type of names. So this is what he says in the 11th chapter, verse 23, down to verse 26. What did he say there, Mother E?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, "For I have received of the Yahweh, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Yahweh, the throne, the same, the might in which Yahweh, the throne, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my body. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Yahweh's death till he come.
So, mother, what did Paul say he want us to show his birth or his death till he come? What do he want us to do? Show his birth? Death. Oh. Show his death till he come. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people December 25th, well, we doing that day because our Lord Savior Jesus Christ was born on that day. But he didn't tell you to follow his birth. He said, do what, mother, in verse 26?
Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Yahweh's death till he come.
Oh, so what he wants you to show is what, mother?
His death till he come.
His death till he come. He said that's what he wants you to be focused in on. But when did he die? Mother, when did he die that we can read? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. So what we doing is getting geared up to do total opposite what we supposed to do. He says, show my death to our come. So what is his death? Let's find out according to Paul. Because Paul was raised from the womb in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. Let's see what he told Paul to tell the children of Israel. Hey, children of Israel, show my death till I come. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 and 8. What did it say?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Put out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Yahweh, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Oh, so he want us to remember what, mother? What he want us to remember is to show his death to his come, and we find out he is what, mother? According to verse 7 and 8, he's our what?
Passover. No.
He's our Passover. He's our Passover lamb. So definitely trying to tell you to remember, he's our Passover lamb. So what we thought we remember is his death, because he's our Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. Now, mother, when is the Passover?
So we supposed to be gearing up to remember his death. Nothing to do with no birthday. Well, you know, I'm celebrating December 25th. It's because it's our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ's birthday. But he didn't tell you to do that. He told you to remember his death till he comes. Now, his death is Passover. Now, when is Passover, Mother Z? We're going to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Let's find out when is Passover. So what he wants you to remember is death. And he is the Passover lamb. So when is Passover that we can read? Hey, Mother Z, we're going to Leviticus 23, verse 4 and 5. Let's talk about it, Mother. Come on.
Okay, let me get that. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and verse 5. Verse 4.
Yeah, let Mosey get that. Come on, Mosey.
He ain't down here. Right.
Mosey, come on. Okay, go ahead. All right, come on, Mother.
Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and verse 5. These are the feasts of the Yahweh. Even righteous convocations, gathering, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is Yahweh's Passover.
Oh! Oh! So what we're going to be keeping of the first month at evening is his Passover. So we're supposed to be keeping the Passover. And that is April the 14th. April the 14th is the first month of the Bible called Abib. So we're not even doing wrong right. We getting ready for a December 25th, and he didn't tell you to remember his birth. He told you to remember his death. See? Now let's go to chapter 26, verse 3. So we ain't not doing wrong right. We getting geared up for December 25th. That ain't got nothing to do with his birthday. He wasn't born in the heart of the winter. He's the Passover lamb. He was born around Passover. He wants you to remember his death till he comes. Passover. But we gearing up now for a day that he was in the manger on December 25th as his birth, and no mother will have their baby out in no winter on this kind of weather, wrapped up in a manger, sitting up on the apple tree, and apples don't grow in the winter. And that's in last night lesson, or at least Hypo last. Let you know he was up. Mary was up on the apple tree, and it was round Passover. Everybody was skinning and grinning, not trembling. Now, you see the weather outside, and all you got to do is take your smartphone and ask, hey, smartphone, what is the weather in Jerusalem? And you can find out that weather is no different than the weather you have right now. Cold. Now, what mother will have their baby wrapped up in swaddly clothes in a manger up under an apple tree? And the temperature supposed to be get so cold in a few more days. And guess what? Ain't nothing new up under the sun. So what are you celebrating? You celebrating the traditions of men, not what the Bible telling you to do. He said, remember my death and do that till I come. But you ain't going to pay that? No, never mind. You're going to pay something, some mind that somebody else gave you. What it says in Matthew 26, verse 6 there, Mother. Hey, Mother. In Matthew 26, verse 6, what do we say that we can read?
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6, read. Mm-hmm. Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6, read. Now when Yahweh, the Son, was in Bethlehem and Bethany in the temple of Solomon. The leopard. That's right.
Yeah, you're doing okay. Go ahead. Give me a little bit more.
Verse 7.
You in Matthew 26, right? You in Matthew 26:6, right?
Matthew 26:6, it says, now when Yahweh was in Bethel, in the house of Solomon.
Yeah.
The leopard. Okay, I got it now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing good.
There came unto him a woman having a alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at ease. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Verse 9. But this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
When Yahweh understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. Verse 12.
Uh-huh.
For in that she has poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my belly.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Truly, I say unto you, wheresoever this covenant shall be taught in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done be told for a memorial of her.
Yeah. So he said. That's good. So this woman was getting prepared for his death, burial.
Right.
So we both be concentrating on is his death, burial, and raising up on Passover. But we is going to be sliding and tripping around trying to eat all the starch food we can get and wonder why we always at Doc Cook's office. December 25th got nothing to do with this man's birth. And what he's telling you, what I want is my death. My death will be a testimony about the woman get me prepared for my death, and I am the Passover lamb. I want you to do that to remember me. Keep the Passover, not keeping me in no December the 25th birthday because I was not born around December 25th. I was born around Passover when you got apples up under the tree, when you could be laying in them. And I didn't tell you to celebrate my birthday anyway. I said celebrate my death. Passover. You see how we told the opposite of the book? Now, we give up a December 25th, right? But it's totally wrong. Now, let's read real quick what is December 25th is all about. Let's see what was he keeping. Come on back to that First Peter now, Mother. We can get a couple more in, and tomorrow we get it real good. We'll get it tomorrow at 6 o'clock real good tomorrow. Let's go back to that Peter we said. That First Peter chapter 2, and we'll pick up verse 20. We'll pick up verse 20 and 21. No, let's pick up 21 and 22 for time's sake. for time's sake, remember, back on the airways again tomorrow at 6 p.m. So all those on the international side, see it's still packed down, over 700,000 strong. Be on time. Stop coming in so late. You miss it unless you're going to tune in and about 15 minutes after the broadcast to get the part that you missed. Stop missing the beginning. Beginning is the key. Punch in on time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, 22. What does it say, Mark?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Verse 21. But even hereunto were ye called, because Yahweh also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth.
He said we supposed to follow his steps. And he done no sin. So that's what we supposed to be doing, following his. Let's find out what is his steps. Let's see if you're going to follow his steps or you're going to follow traditions of men. Let's go to 1 Maccabees, mother. 1 Maccabees. Let's see what we're going to do. Let's see if we're going to follow what he got on the table or we're going to follow what man got on the table. Let's find out, mother. We're going to 1 Maccabees, chapter 1. These the books are taken away from you, and you go on your computer and find out that 14 books are taken away from you. But we try to restore it back to you. We're going to 1 Maccabees, mother, and let's find out what's going on, and we go on to verse 59.
Verse 59 reads, now the 25th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the owl altar, which was upon the altar of Yahweh.
That's okay. All I want 59. He says, okay. That's 5 and 20 days. They done some idol on 5 and 20. So on the 25th day of what? Now skip down to verse 54.
Okay. 54.
Yes, 54.
First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 54. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 54. Now the 15th day of the month, Catholic, December, in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and built olive altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side.
So they set up the abomination of desolation. They start putting it together on the 15th. And they had a full force win in verse 59. Now, on the 15th day of December, they set it up. They were putting it together on the 15th day. They were getting it prepared on the 15th day. But what it say in verse 59?
Now on the 25th day of the month, December, they did sacrifice upon the Isle of altar.
So, and when December the 25th came, they started to put on bad food, hogs, and everything on December 25th. He said that was abomination. They said abomination, desolation. Now let's go to the fourth chapter, mother. We got to move quick now. We run out of time. Be back on our ways tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Let's see what happened in verse number 52.
First Maccabees chapter 4, verse 52 reads, now on the 25th day of the ninth month, which is called the month Elul, in the 148th year, they rose up betime in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So, December 25th, they had a feast on December 25th, and what were they celebrating in verse 25?
Verse 25. Okay, let me get back there. Verse 25 reads, thus Israel had a great deliverance. Verse 25. Thus Israel had a great deliverance that day.
So Israel had a great deliverance on December 25th. See, Israel had a great deliverance. Now let's see what